And so it has been mentioned in the last several weeks, we're preaching from a new sermon series titled Maximum Impact. Maximum Impact. Some wise person once said that the impact that you have on the lives of other people will be the proof of your existence. The people will know that you have been here by the impact and the influence, positive influence that you had on their lives. That oftentimes we refer to it as legacy, the type of legacy that we will leave behind when we're long gone. And I hope that I hope is that we would have a positive influence and impact on people for Jesus' sake. I believe this. All of us have the ability to make an impact, to have an influence on somebody's life, at least in some small way, some small but powerful way. It was Gandhi that said, in a gentle way, you can shake the world. Let me ask you, how are you shaking the world around you today? We all should desire to maximize our influence on other people, to make a difference in the life of somebody. All of us should desire that our lives would count for something, but our lives ought to count for the kingdom of God and for Jesus' sake. It's the idea of impact that will allow you to get up in the morning when you don't feel like getting up. It will cause you to stand before God's people and preach the gospel when perhaps you don't feel like it. When people backbite, turn their backs on you and talk about you, it's the fact that you impact somebody else's life will say, I don't care, listen, I'm going to do what God called me to do. Yeah. It's impact that in the face of fear that you will still get up and do what God has called you to do. I hope I have some people in the house today that want to maximize their impact for the kingdom. Y'all, I love Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, where it says they, being the early Christians, they turned the world upside down. That they turned the world upside down for the kingdom of Christ. That we ought to want to turn the world upside down. They preached the gospel, y'all. They changed lives. They brought people together from different backgrounds, different ethnicities. They brought them together in the name of Jesus. They were beaten and they were bloodied, but they were never broken. They had maximum impact on the lives of other people. We live in a world today that needs the impact of the kingdom. All we have to do is look around us. The chaos and the confusion and the division and all that's taking place, that we need kingdom people, Jesus people, that would dare to stand up and boldly make an impact for the kingdom of God, that we need to turn the world upside down for him. And guess what? We have the command, and we have the calling, and we have the privilege to be Jesus people. We have the privilege of being ambassadors for Christ, for being his representatives in this world today. And so the purpose of this preaching series is to equip you to discover your purpose, shine your light, overcome barriers, and leave a lasting legacy for Christ. Text for today comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this. For we are God's masterpiece. Yes, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let me make that personal this morning. For you, born again believer, are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things he planned for you long ago. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from this thought as we look at this series, Maximum Impact, this thought, made for more. Yeah. That you were made for more. Do you believe that you were made for more? You were great, made for greater in God's sight. So have you ever had something that's in your house and you know you didn't use it for its design purpose? Anybody got some treadmills? They make some great clothes rags. Yeah, looks real good, doesn't it? Anybody got those nice coffee tables at home? But man, the one in my house, it makes a good footrest. Until the wife wants to say, get your foot your feet off my table. My favorite thing is the butter knife. If you did not know it, the butter knife is the best screwdriver you can find in the world. It's the butter knife. That we have this tendency to use things in a way in which they were not really made to be used. And the problem with that is that when something isn't used for its purpose, in a sense, it loses its true value. It loses what it was made for, its true value. I wonder how many people go through life that don't understand their worth and their value. That people are unfulfilled. They never discover what they were really made for, their intended purpose in life. God created you and me on purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. God says, you, beloved, were made for more. There are churches all over the world. There are house churches. There are storefronts. There are large cathedrals with all of the stained glass and all of the ornaments and all of that. People that have huge sanctuaries, stadium size. They're televised on TV. There are online ministries today, online churches. There are buildings, many types of buildings, many styles and shapes of churches. But guess what? The church is not about a building. The church is about people. It's about Jesus' people. It's about the people of God. So that means that the church cannot be confined to four walls. If you were made for more, if God is calling you to be different, God is calling you and me to go out into the world to make a difference. The church is made of every people, every race, every nation, every tongue. I thank God as I look around me, I see specklings of that. The people that are here because of their love for Jesus Christ and the Word of God and God's people. That I'm starting to look around, not everybody looks the same. Thank God you don't look like me, that's okay. But God is doing something in this season in the life of this church. Amen. That you were made for more. Amen. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul reminds us that the church, that we were once dead. That you may be walking and breathing, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're still spiritually dead. That we once were dead, but listen, the good news is that God gave us life. That we're made alive by his grace, his unmerited favor. That we're saved by grace through faith. But it doesn't stop there. The text goes on to say that we are God's workmanship. We are his handiwork. We are his masterpiece. This word in the Greek, it really refers to being a work of art. That we're God's poem, that you're God's Monet, that you're God's Picasso. That you're God's Mona Lisa, that you are a work of art, that you're God's Versace, that you're God's Gucci, that you are somebody in him, you are somebody to him, you were made for more. I need you to get that today. So that means that, listen, you are not an accident, but you're on an assignment, that you're God's assignment. Like I said before, you are an ambassador for Christ, you are salt, you are light. That he has an assignment for you and for me because we are made for more. Know this, that we're not saved by works. You got to make sure you're clear on that. We're not saved by works, but we're saved to do good work. Last time I said, good work is God's work. And so that ought to motivate us, y'all, that God saves you. That when you were yet still in your Christ came and he died for you and for me. He saved you and me because he did that. I'm motivated to work for him. That my energy is renewed day by day. That I got up ready to serve God. I got up ready to praise him. I got up ready to serve him this morning. Hallelujah. And so God has given us a whole lot of opportunities, y'all. He's already set it in motion. He set it in motion from the foundation of the world. That God has something planned for you. So there are opportunities. There's paths. There's things that God wants for you to do and for me to have for us to do. That we're made to live beyond survival, beyond worldly success. We're made for kingdom significance, that we're made for more. So how can this one short verse, this powerful verse, help us as we look to maximize our impact in this momentary world? What truth can we gain from this text this morning? I'm glad you want to know, because I want to let you know you're made for more. The first simple thing I want you to see in this text is simply this. I want you to see your identity. The text says that you are God's masterpiece. Did you get that? That you belong to God. That you're his special treasure. That you are his holy work, handiwork. That you are a poem, you are a song that's set in the key of G for grace. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this. But you are not like that. You're not what you used to be. You're not what folks say that you are. But you have to let God determine who you are. You are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful and marvelous. Anybody glad about that today? Oh, I presuppose some of y'all ain't never walked in darkness. Some of y'all ain't never slipped and dipped into, but I'm glad he called me out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. Y'all looking at me strange right now.
That's right.
That God called us.
Yes, sir.
God saved us.
Yes.
So you're not defined by your past. You're not defined by your past messes.
That's
and
right.
Your mess ups.
Right.
You're not defined by your past mistakes.
Thank you, Lord.
You're not defined by what people think of you. People, people, people. I heard that sermon sometime. People.
That's right.
That God says you're this, you'll allow people to tell you what God says you're not. You allow people to get in the way.
Yeah.
So I found out something, y'all. Listen, so anybody ever heard of LifeLock? LifeLock, they're a business. They deal with identity theft. And so LifeLock is supposedly the best identity theft country business in America today. I don't know. I don't have LifeLock. Y'all, I Googled LifeLock. Now it's stuck on my computer. Every time, do you want to get LifeLock? I guess they have these algorithms. I don't know what it is. But LifeLock, it's for the protection of the people's personal information. It's a pain, y'all, if you ever had any of your personal information stolen. Anybody ever had your credit card stolen? That you're getting a call from the company and they got $250 worth of perfume, $500 worth of it on your credit card, and you know you ain't bought that. The frustration and the headache that you have to go through, you know, to make sure that people, it wasn't me. People perpetrate a fraud. They say it was you when it was not you, that they have stolen your identity. Can I tell you this morning, we serve a very real devil. That Satan is real. And his goal is to steal your identity. His goal is to steal your spiritual identity. The Bible declares who we are in Christ, who we are in God, but he wants to steal your identity. What's even worse sometimes that we give up our identity. That we surrender to, okay, devil, here it is. You can take it. You can have it. But the devil is a liar. No, 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 no. Listen, because you're in Christ, you have a new identity. And the word of God becomes your life lock. That your relationship with him ought to be on lock. That your life in him ought to be on lock. And who you are needs to be on lock. You need to know who you are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and 3 that I am loved and I know I'm loved by God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 says I am accepted in the beloved, that God loves me. Yes, he does. That I'm a friend of Jesus according to John chapter 15 verse 14. I am a joint heir with Jesus, sharing his inheritance with him. Romans 8, 17. To the world, you may not look like anything. You may look like absolutely nothing. But you are somebody to God. You are somebody to Jesus. There's this movie, y'all. There's this movie that I like. It's called The Help. If you ever seen The Help, there's the maid that's keeping the little girl. The little girl. She's about to leave. Her mama said, "You got to get out of our house." But she's keeping the little girl, and she says, "Remember this, baby, that you was kind, you was smart, and you was important. I came to tell you that this morning, that you was important to God. I know it's not the right vernacular, but you is important. You are important to God. That you were made for more, to do more and to be more, to make a difference in this world for the kingdom. That you're made for You're made for more. So we see our identity in the text, but we can also find our purpose. It says you were created anew to do good works. You were saved not to sit down, but you were saved to serve. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. That God has given us gifts and he's given us opportunities that fit into his greater plan. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you go home, that'll be your homework assignment. Look at it. It says that all of us have been given gifts, at least one spiritual gift. And that gift is to make a difference. We have different gifts, but they operate by the same Spirit. That we have, we serve in different ways, but we serve the same true and living God. That says you don't have to be envious of my gift. I don't have to be envious of yours. You don't have to be jealous about what God is doing in my life. And I don't have to be jealous of what God is doing. I need to celebrate with you what God is doing in your life. That I need to be applauding the God that's in you and what you're doing for the kingdom. That I ought to celebrate it. I ought to push you on and push you forward in what God is doing in your life. King David, Psalm 138, verse 8, says this. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. The hesed of God, it endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. I like the way the King James says it. It puts it this way. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. Well, what does that say to me? That sometimes I may go off course. Sometimes I don't always get it right. But I serve a God that will course correct. That he'll keep me on track. He'll keep me on target as long as I am following. I'm following him. All of us have dreams. We have plans. We have stuff we want to do. I'll tell you what, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. And then God's going to show you his.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Bible says that we can plan all the time, but the purpose of the Lord will always stand. We can go off course, but God will get us back on course. We work hard, y'all. We work our fingers to the bone, and sometimes I think we do that too much. But God alone knows what's best for us. We ought to be seeking his purpose and his plan for our lives. His purpose will prevail.
Yes, sir.
I'm a bit of an HGTV person. Home and garden television, yeah. HGTV. There's a show, y'all, called Bargain Block. Perhaps some of you have seen that show before. These two guys, they undertake these projects. Looks like they take houses in the projects. I mean, disaster areas, y'all. Houses, excuse my vernacular, it's tore up from the floor up. Let me use my Southern Memphis vernacular. I mean, it's a mess. Brother Andre, they operate out of Detroit. Detroit, Michigan. But they take these old raggedy, torn up houses, y'all. I mean, rotted wood, y'all. The roof is half on. Just a disaster. Rats and roaches and all everything in between. But they take these projects. They take these houses and they fix them up. They make them like they're new. And they sell them for an affordable price. Of course, they get their cut on the house, too. So catch this. They take these wrecks. They take these messes. They God takes the life that's tore up from the floor up, that's all jacked up, that's sin infested, that God steps in and God makes us anew. God renews us. God redesigns us. God refreshes us, y'all. That's something to preach. That's something to shout about. And so God came to give you new purpose, to repurpose your life. To do good works for him, which takes me to my final point, y'all. We'll be out in a minute. Bacon and eggs. Y'all stay with me now. Keep your mind here. Come away from the turnip green dinner. Stay with me. This last thing, that we have to learn how to walk in our destiny.
Yeah.
We can do good things that he, God, has planned for us. That's you, that's me. When did he do it? Long ago. The good works God has prepared are not random, y'all. That they're tailor-made for you. God has a plan for you. For your life. Yep, same Spirit. Same God. But he has a plan and a purpose for you, a destiny that he already outlined for you and for me. Destiny also means a destination. Which destination are you traveling in? Which direction are you going in? Who are you truly following? Who are you really trying to be like? That God has a destiny for your, listen to me, young people, God has a destiny, a plan, a purpose for your life. God has a destination that he's taking you towards and meets. All of us are on our way to heaven, but God has a destiny and a destination right down here that he wants you to get to. Again, it's tailor-made, it's uniquely made, it's just for you. God has uniquely positioned you and me within our family structure, within our neighborhoods, with our communities, to do what God has called us to do. Living Faith Community Church. God has a destiny. God has a plan. God has a purpose for this ministry. There's a church just down the street. There's another church just down the street. God has a purpose and a plan for them. But he also has a purpose and a plan for this ministry. We're all about the Matthew 28 mandate, reaching people for the kingdom, discipling them. We're all about that. But how we do it, how he shapes us, how he molds us to do it, it might be a little different. And so we accept that. But we all have a destiny and a destination, a place where God is taking us. God speaks to Jeremiah, y'all, in chapter 1 and verse 5 about his calling. God says to Jeremiah, I've got this calling on your life. It says this, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So what was Jeremiah's calling? It was to be a prophet. When did God call him? Before he was even formed in his mother's womb. Before his mama gave him a name, God already had a name on him. You are born again. God already has his name that he set on you. God has a calling for your life. And for you and for me and every born, he did it before you were ever even born. God has a calling for your life. Busy doesn't equal impact. Fulfilling your God-given destiny does. I need to say that again. Busy doesn't equal impact. Fulfilling your God-given destiny does. A whole lot of people are busy. Busy doing what we want to do. Busy working on jobs. Busy building big names and titles. Busy doing this and that. But are we about the business of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. Whose business are you really about? Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're about God's business. That God has a destiny for us. So y'all, about done. So my granddaughter, Aria Rose here today. She back in the bag. Yeah, we were doing a jigsaw puzzle at the house. And we're doing this puzzle, y'all, and we get to this place where the puzzle is almost complete. There's one piece missing out of the puzzle. So Aria, being Aria, who she is, you know, a seven-year-old, she's like, oh, it's good with me. I don't care. The puzzle, it's gone, it's gone. Pop, let's do something else. What you want to do? We got the Barbie dolls down here. We got television. What you want to do? We can do something else. But Pop had a little bit of OCD. Pop looking at the puzzle, and there's a piece missing. Pop wants to know where's the piece of the puzzle. We got to get this puzzle to get hard. I don't care. That's really, we want chocolate. Let's go do something, Pop. So Pop is searching high and low. I'm looking for this piece to the puzzle, y'all. I think she was messing with my mind. Because if memory serves me correctly, y'all, listen, I'm looking high and low, looking high and low. She kind of like, Papa, here it is. I'm like, where the piece of the puzzle? It's like she knew all along that I'm going to be tripping because I'm looking for this piece to the puzzle. Listen to me. Just as a puzzle piece only fits in one place, you have a place in God's plan that no one else can fill. That God has a place for you in his word. That God has a place for you in his picture. God has a big picture. God has a big plan. And God wants to fit you into that. He's fitted you into that plan. Let me ask you a question, an important question. Are you a missing puzzle piece?
Yeah.
Or do you know where you fit into God's God's kingdom? What picture are you trying to fit into? Are you trying to fit into man's picture or God's picture? If you're trying to fit into man's picture, man might kick you out of his picture at some time, at some point. But if you fit into God's picture, you want to fit into God's picture. God has a place for you. God has an eternal place for you. And for whose picture are you trying to fit into anyway? Some people are trying to fit into the picture of worldly success. It ought to be godly success. We try to fit into the picture of earthly wealth rather than divine blessings. We try to fit into the picture of the crowd rather than fitting into the picture of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus. We try to fit into the picture, y'all, of social clubs and social organizations and political things, but we need to fit into the picture and the plan of God that you're made. You're made for more.
Yeah.
Whatever job you're doing, it's all right, but you're made for more.
Yes.
I found out something, that when you understand your true identity, when you understand your purpose, when you understand that God has a destiny for you, you can walk in on a job that you absolutely hate. You don't want to be there. But when you know that God called you and who you are in God, you can skip in there singing a song. You can go into the job praising and blessing his name because you know you were made by God and you were made for more. And just maybe on that job got somebody he wants you to witness to and talk to and tell them about Jesus Christ. That Jesus, that he understood that he was made for more. That he was the Son of God. He understood his identity. He understood his purpose. And he understood his destiny was to die for the sins of the world. Isaiah said at best, he was wounded for my transgressions. That he was bruised for my iniquities. That the chastisement of my peace was upon him. But by his stripes, I am healed. That he saved me and raised me. He keeps me. But I got to understand that I'm now made for more. So how do we live this thing out, y'all? Please softly. How do we live it out? There's a personal step that we need to make. Ask God daily, Lord, what good work have you prepared for me today? Open your eyes and look. How will you serve the Lord today, this day? Tomorrow's not promised. Yesterday is gone, but how will you serve God? How will you serve him? That's a personal step. There's also a practical step. Find one tangible way this week to live out your purpose. Encourage someone. Serve in your church. We need you here. Meet a need in your community, in your neighborhood, on your job. What need can you fulfill today? What practical step can you take today? Then there is the spiritual step. Trust that God didn't just save you from something. He didn't just save you from sin, but he saves you for something. That he saved you for mission. That he has a purpose and a plan for your life. In my life. And then there is this last challenge that I present to you today. Don't live beneath your calling. You were not created just to exist. You were created to make a difference. You are God's masterpiece. You are his handiwork. And you were made for more. And the church said, come on, give God praise in the house today. If you thank God that he made you for more, give God a praise in the house today. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. God, I realize I'm made for more, to do more for your kingdom, to make a kingdom impact. And God, for that we are grateful that we're made for more. We talk about being God's masterpiece in his handiwork. Again, you go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Where it says that we were all sinners. But it's by God's grace that he saved us. That we're saved by faith. Not by works. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. And so we have to all admit that we are all sinners. But we believe that God sent his son into the world. And Jesus came to do what he said he came to do. That he came to save you and me from our sins. The Bible says we confess Jesus with our mouths. We believe that Jesus is who he said he is and was. We believe on Jesus and we're saved. I was going to put the repent part in there, but it still starts with believing in Jesus, confessing him. We turn from the stuff that we used to do and we turn to him. But the basis of salvation is believing on Jesus Christ and who he says he is. And when we trust that and really believe that, it's him working in us, that big word, sanctifying us and making us more like him. And I say that this morning because some people, it's important to know, because sometimes, you know, we're saved and people say, well, what are you saying? But that don't mean that you're still not saved. It means you need to confess it and get it right. So I'm going to say to somebody this morning, maybe you feel like that broken down house, sin infested, but there's a Savior who wants to save you this morning. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So if you are here this morning, we invite you into a saving relationship with Jesus. Our ushers are standing in the aisle. Their hands are extended. If you would, you can follow them across the hallway to room number one. You'll meet a new member ministry advisor. They'll gather information and we'll welcome you with open arms. Perhaps you're on our online ministry today. There is a link that you can click on even in this moment. Fill out the information that you see there, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you. We'll talk to you, we'll pray with you, and we'll welcome you to Living Faith with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.